Presentator Stefan Gambeser, I'm just giving you briefly about, you know, his bio. The Dr. Gambeser is the assistant dean, is good? Okay, still good. Assistant dean for the academic and student affairs, College of Nursing and Health Professions in the Drake Universities. He is in a professor of health, society, and administration. He has held a number of academic administrative positions. His research interests in higher education include continuing professional education program development, variations, credentialing, and online learning. He is on the board of National Commission for Health Education Credentialing, which is ongoing. And then he's the past president of National SOFI, Society for the Public Health Education. So Dr. Gambeser, thank you so much. You can do how to do it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Great, thank you, and good afternoon. Thanks for attending this session. I saw two hands go up, whether you were Ches or MCHES, but just to get a feel, we're a small enough group to see who the panel is going to be speaking with, and we can direct our comments a little bit. The others in the room, what's your profession, and are you thinking about Ches?
I am. I have my undergraduate work in dietetics.
Okay.
Food, and I have a master's degree in public health. Interestingly enough, the emphasis of my MPH is in community health education, so I believe I would be eligible for that MCHES. I have over 20 years of experience.
Okay. And over here, discipline? Public health, okay. And the two in the back, just to get a feel for who we're speaking with.
Professor of undergraduate public health, and then I'm also
CPA certified.
CPA, okay. Hi, I'm MCHES, but I'm director of an undergraduate program in public health.
Okay, great. So we have a lot from the provider standpoint, a couple practitioners. So I'm going to go over the requirements that we have for the CHES and the MCHES exam for the preparation and the eligibility. I have no financial gain in this prep. Presentation or any conflicts of interest. So I'll explain the eligibility criteria for both the CHES and the MCHES and discuss the registration process, give some numbers, and then identify a little bit about the school reports that you can get from NCHEC. I want to start out, though, with some background that each of the that's why I was interested in the disciplines. They all have a unique history, and then disciplines are going to make decisions related to how they're going to validate competency and what entity is going to validate competency. Is it going to be a government entity? Is it going to be with a professional association? And then what are the different measures that would take place? What I mean by measures is usually it's some combination of formation, academic formation, practice, and validation and what have you. So I like to think of it as it's not so much that one is better than the other when you look at our different health professions, but that they're different. And you understand the history to make decisions. What we have in terms of certification for the public health education specialist is we chose as a discipline to do certification. We chose as a discipline to have an independent entity, not government, not tied to a professional association, but a nonprofit, separate entity that does the oversight, and that's the NCHEC. We decide as a discipline to do this by examination, and then we'll talk about the eligibility, and as a discipline we have the continuing education to keep our status. The next two slides, I want to bring a concept also that oftentimes when we talk about quality assurance, oftentimes we think about it as hierarchical, that some entity is telling us what to do, that it's top down. A big one is in your own universities is the regional accreditors are coming, and we all are terrorized by the regional accreditors. But this concept here is it's really a conversation, ongoing conversation that we have with the different stakeholders. So we want to focus and do good by the individual, the health professional, but accrediting agencies have a voice, the employers have a voice, we want to listen to employers. We as providers in higher ed have a voice, and then we have professional associations. So one way to conceive of this is a confluence, it's a dynamic of a confluence of ongoing discussion, especially when you have a change in a profession for example, online learning. And it's very interesting if you follow the history of a change in a profession, how these voices are changed and what the stakeholders are going to weigh in on that. Okay, for the CHES exam eligibility, there are two ways to sit for the exam. One is to have the major or degree in health education, or that you would have a strong concentration, which we define as the 25 credits, semester credit hours there. So there are two ways to become eligible. The MCHES exam, there's a couple ways to do that. First of all, and this is important to point out, that if you're an existing CHES, if you add continuing status 5 years to that, then you can sit for the advanced level examination. If you're a non-CHES, the decision was made that if you have a master's degree, or again, it's commonality, if you have a concentration within that master's degree, then you can sit for the exam. But you need to add the experience. So just quickly to see that with the entry level, you don't need the experience, but you need that academic formation. With the master's level, in both ways of doing that, you do need the practice, which would make sense. So here's information on the exam. We do it twice a year. The April is good timing because it would get your graduates ready for the workforce where they could be certified. A lot of sites, 120 sites throughout the U.S., and the style and structure of the exam is 3 hours to complete. We are still doing it by paper and pencil. There is discussion about maybe doing this by computer, but that remains to be seen. We have 165 multiple choice questions. We throw in 15 pilot questions. This is standard in terms of quality assurance and standardized exams, that you want to do some testing there. And then we are going to cover all of the 7 areas of responsibility. This kind of, some other disciplines are really surprised. Think about it. We have 223 subcompetencies that we have in our profession, which is pretty significant. So we'll talk more. The other speaker, Dr. Cheney, will talk more about the examination, so if we have some questions there. So again, these are CHES, MCHES, a little bit about the structure. And to give you a feel for where we put where this is dispersed, of our 7 areas of responsibility, this gives you a sense of the percentages of where these questions are going to come from. So those in the providers in the universities, take note of this when you're advising students, especially if they're going to take 25 credits. You want to make sure that there's that distribution that they're going to have. Now, it makes sense that in implementation we have a high percent, and the things where the lower percent are more of those higher levels that we have, such as advocacy and research and evaluation. So a note of caution, what we're finding when we review applicants for eligibility is students who don't become eligible, what we're seeing is they are studying a very specialized area and they don't have the distribution of the competencies that would really get them ready. And sometimes you, as in maybe the department chair, are going to get upset with us. But try to think about this and change the focus, that this is not a barrier, that we need to be, as a profession, to show responsibility for not only eligibility but preparation. So we want students to be prepared. It makes no sense to kind of lift the rope up, if you speak, and let them in to take the test if what we can see by their academic preparation are really not prepared to do that. So that may not be something that's real clear, and we're trying to do more to communicate that that distribution that you want to have. And we're really surprised, the other thing that we see when we have applicants that don't eligible, they miss the planning course. You know, the proceed. I know that sounds like heretical that you would miss that. But there are the areas that are going to be, I think it's reasonable to say that students really need some preparation in that. This, I know there's a lot of data points on here, but this shows the kind of average correct and success rate you need in the 7 areas. But one thing I would point out generally here, now probably could have done a little color scheme here, but this is CHES, right? And this is the MCHES, so we have 2 columns for each. See how the jump's made to the master's level from here to here? Here to here? See, it's going up, which is good. That's what you would expect to take place. I don't I'm not a statistician. I know you would have to do something statistically to take a look at that. But at face value, it looks like the master's people are getting better in all of these areas. And I think that that kind of makes sense. That's a good thing to see. You can get school reports with this kind of data. And the school reports, you can call and check. If you're not getting it, you can call up Melissa and she'll talk more about this and we can answer the questions. And they'll be able to show you the success rates, what areas the students are doing well, what your averages are in terms of your institutions. And in order to do that, it makes sense to stay connected, to call. We keep a running list of the chairs and department contacts that we'll have to send out these reports. And if you're not receiving them, you can contact us through the website. Here's the number here. We do have some active, we have a LinkedIn discussion board. I know if you're on the heater, there's a lot of discussion at the value of CHES and MCHES on the heater. The heater should be the heater, H-E-A-T-E-R, because it gets heated discussions, I know, sometimes. So let me end there, and I'll turn it over to the other panelists, and we'll be able to have some good exchanges.